لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today we are in our seventh session for the basic Arabic grammar review, and I'm just repeating it each time just to remind us that this class is a review of much of the material that we covered in Medina Book 1. Again, not everything covered in Medina Book 1 is in this review, but rather the most important principles or qawaid, rules of Arabic grammar that are covered in Book 1, most of them are covered in these notes. Okay? These notes are intended to be a review. So some things that we may have covered in 3 or 4 chapters, it's all presented at one time in one page in summary, because it is intended to be a review. So if anybody was unfamiliar with a particular grammatical rule, you didn't study it before, you didn't cover it before, then keep in mind that for us these notes are intended to be a review, and therefore you have to focus and pay attention and ask questions about whatever you don't understand to make sure that you grasp it before we go on to the next topic. Each topic is usually summarized in one page or so. So obviously, it's concentrated and it does require some explanation. We're going to try to explain as much as we can each point as we go through it. But again, I can't, overemphasize the point that this is a review, okay? So if it's new to you, please ask questions. Don't hesitate to ask questions and we'll try to clarify. Today, the topic that we want to cover today deals with, on page 8 of our notes, deals with prepositions, yani حروف الجر. And I want to talk a little bit about the prepositions before we look at this page 8 and the examples that they gave for some of the prepositions that they selected from ayats of the Quran. But before we even talk about prepositions, I want to go back and look at what we covered in the last class. In the last class, we dealt with the conjugation of the triliteral, past tense verb. Triliteral, past tense verb. That's what we spent the whole class last week talking about. And we had introduced this subject in the previous session. A little bit, we talked about it. And then in last week's class, we went over the details of the most important things that are necessary for you to know related to the past tense verb. And we say triliteral past tense verb because triliteral means that the root of these verbs have three letters. They are three radicals. Okay? Most verbs in Arabic language are triliteral. Their root have three radicals, three letters. However, there are some small number of verbs that have four radicals, meaning the root of that verb has four letters in its original root. All right? We're not going to talk about those, but we just want to know that this is the majority of Arabic verbs are triliteral. They have three letters in their root. And last week we talked about that, and we also mentioned that the verb in Arabic is either al-fi'l al-madi, which is the past tense verb, and then which is our subject last week, and then there's the fi'l al-mudari, which is the present tense verb that's used for present tense and for future tense, and then there's the fi'l amra, the imperative form or the command form of the verb. Okay, we're not interested at this point in the mudari present tense or amra command form. What we're interested is in the past tense. So when we say triliteral past tense verb, what we mean by that, we're talking about the majority of verbs in Arabic language that have three radicals or three letters in their root, and we're talking about the past tense form of the verb only, meaning when we're talking about an action that has been completed, it's finished, it happened already. Yeah, it happened an hour ago or a day ago, a week or a year or whatever. Okay, it's finished. And then we said, in conjugating the verb, what we mean by conjugation is that we are going to modify the basic form of the verb. The basic form of the verb comes in the dictionary always as the third person, masculine, singular, he. Yani, when you look up a verb in the dictionary, you're going to look up, the form that you're going to look up, its basic root, like zahaba, or kataba, or shariba, or karuma. You're going to look up a three-letter root in the dictionary, and that word that they give you, its root base form of the verb, is actually the form for the third person masculine singular, he. He went, he ate, he wrote, or whatever. Okay, and then the rest of the forms of the verb are modified by adding suffixes to the end of them for the past tense verb, by adding a suffix that we have highlighted here in red. The suffix at the end is what indicates the one who is doing the action of that verb. Okay, the action of this verb, dhahaba, is going. He went. Okay, so if you want to say, she went, we went, they went, you went, we have to modify the verb to indicate who's the one who's going, who's doing the action, right? The one who's doing the action, we said last week, is called the fa'il, the subject doer of the action. And we said that fa'il is indicated by the suffix that we add at the end of the verb. Okay? And now, today, what we're doing here right now is we're just reviewing quickly what we covered last week in 2 hours. Okay, so I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to remind us of what happened last week, and hopefully it will be helpful, Dan, if you missed something last week. The past tense verb, this is the basic root form, triliteral. Then we're going to add a suffix like to, which means the first person, singular. This column is all singular, and as we go across, this is the first person, this is the second person, masculine and feminine, and this third person, masculine and feminine. All right? So we said that if you add the suffix to, the ta with dhamma, to the end of the basic form of the verb, it means I went, or I ate, or I sat. Okay, to means the first person, singular. By the way, these numbers here that are in the end of each of these boxes are the chapter numbers that this form of the verb came in book number one, in Medina book one. So if a person wants to go back and see where this form of the verb with two representing the first person, I, if you want to find it, you can find it. If you go back, you'll find it in chapter 10 of Medina book one. That's where it was introduced. This form for the second person, masculine, singular, yani meaning you, masculine, the habta, is also in chapter 10. And then the habti, second person, feminine, singular, is in chapter 12, and so on, like this. The original form is in chapter 8. This form, feminine form, is in chapter 12. And here's 14, 14, 15, and 13. All right? So if you want to know where each form is at, the first person, singular, is in chapter 10. The second person, masculine, singular, is in chapter 10. The second person, feminine, singular, is in chapter 12. The third person, masculine, singular, is in chapter 8. Third person, feminine, singular, is in chapter 12. The first person, plural, is in chapter 14, we. The second person, masculine, plural, you all, masculine, is in chapter 14. The second person, feminine, plural, you all, speaking to females, is in chapter 15. The third person, masculine, plural, they, any group of men, is in chapter 13. And the, somebody erased this, third person, feminine, plural, I don't know, somebody erased the chapter here. But probably it's in chapter 13, 14, I don't remember now. Huh? No, okay, let's see. It was in chapter 15. Chapter 15. Now, third person, feminine, plural, they, speaking to females, Yani is in chapter 15. So you can see that the conjugation of the verb, it wasn't learned all at one time. Rather, it was given piecemeal, little by little, so you have a chance to memorize it, practice with it, until Yani you become strong with that particular part of the conjugation of the verb. So we see in chapter 8, the first form came, and then in 10, and then 12, and then 13, 14, 15, the rest of the forms. Now, it wasn't? Okay, it was 13, like this. Zakallah Khay and Tariq. Tariq is my helper. 13, okay. So then these two, third person, plural, masculine and feminine, both came in chapter 13. Okay, the forms of the verb for third person plurals, masculine and feminine, came in chapter 13. Alright, so again, last week we covered the conjugation of the past tense verb, and we said that Yani, you modify the verb by adding a suffix to the end of it in the past tense. In the present tense, that's something different. You add a prefix. Okay, but that's different. We're not worried about that now. We're worried about the past tense. We're going to add this suffix. And each one of these suffix, tu, ta, ti, na, like this, each one of these suffix indicate the one who's doing the action. Na indicates first person plural, we. We. Tum indicates second person plural masculine, you, you all. And feminine, yani, tunna, means you all, plural feminine. Okay, so this is the way that the past tense verb is conjugated. It's conjugated by taking the base form of the verb and adding a suffix to it at the end, whichever suffix they use for that particular person. Which person? We said that there are three matters in terms of the conjugation of verbs you have to look at. Is it the first person, meaning the speaker, I? Or is it the second person, meaning the one being spoken to, you, masculine or feminine? Or is it the third person, the one being spoken about, the one who's absent, who we are talking about, third person, masculine or feminine? Okay, so the first person is I, the second person is you in Arabic, this distinguishes between masculine and feminine, and the third person is he or she, for singular, he or she. When we go to the plurals, the first person, obviously, is we, first person, the speaker, when it's a group of people speaking. And the second person is again you, but here it's plural, you all, and it's distinguished between masculine and feminine. And the third person is they, and again it's distinguished between masculine and feminine. If you're speaking to a group of males or a group of females. So the first thing that we have to look at when we look at the conjugation of the verb, and this is the same thing with pronouns also, we look at who's the one who's doing the action. Is it the speaker, I, or is it the one that you are speaking to, you, masculine or feminine, singular? Or is it someone that's absent that we're speaking about, he or she, for singular? For the plural, it can be the speaker is plural, we, or, yeah, and if you're addressing somebody second person, plural, it's you, masculine or feminine. If you're talking about someone that's absent in plural, then you mean they, and yeah, and there's the masculine form and the feminine form. So the first thing we want to know, are we talking about the speaker, first person, or the one being addressed, spoken to, second person, or the one that is being spoken about, third person? This is the first thing that we want to look at of three things in reference to the past tense verb. We want to know, is it the first person who's doing the action, or second or third person? The speaker, the one being spoken to, or the one being spoken about? The second thing we want to know is the one who's doing the action, first, second or third person, is it masculine or feminine? Is the person a male or a female? Masculine or feminine? We want to look at that. Okay, because in the second person and in the third person, there's a specific form for masculine second person and a different form for feminine second person. And third person, the same thing. There's a form for masculine and a form for feminine. So we want to know, is the one doing the action, the file, masculine or feminine? Okay, so that's the second thing. The first thing, we want to know, is it the speaker, first person, one being spoken to, second person, or the one being spoken about, third person? Who is doing the action, first, second or third person? The second thing we want to know, is the one doing the action masculine or feminine? And the third thing we want to know, is the one doing the action singular or plural? Singular or plural. Those are three things that we need to know about a verb. When we look at the verb form in Arabic, it tells us these three things. One word, ذهبتَ, tells us that it's the second person, you, that's doing the action. And it also tells us that it's masculine. The one doing the action is masculine, as opposed to T tells us it's feminine. And it also tells us, ta tells us that it's singular, not plural. Tum means that it's plural. Second person, masculine, but this is plural, tum. Ta, second person, masculine, singular. So it tells us all these three things. Is it the first person, second person, third person? The one doing the action is masculine or feminine? Their number, is it singular or plural? And also there's a dual form in Arabic, but we're not going to talk about that now. That's something that will come much later on. Alright, so these are three things you have to know about the past tense verb. And hopefully this is sufficient, yani, to give us an idea of, yani, what we covered last week, except that last week we spent maybe 1 hour or more conjugating verbs. Yani, taking one verb after another and just going through this process. Like we did here, we took another verb like kataba, and we said first person, singular, katabtu. Second person, singular, masculine, katabta. Katabti, kataba, katabat. Plural, first person, katabna. Second person, masculine plural, katabtum. Feminine, second person, plural, katabtun. Third person, masculine plural, katabu. Third person, feminine plural, katabna. So we did a lot of exercise with verbs last week, and if anybody missed the class last week, alhamdulillah, it's posted online on the website, islamlecture.com. You can go to the website, look under Arabic courses, and see basic Arabic grammar review. Yani, last week was the sixth class, so you look for the sixth class, and you'll find it there. You can listen to it and practice along with us, yani, from the audio. Any question? Any question? The past tense verb is very, very important. You have to master it before we go to the present tense form, before we look at the command form. Okay? And the only way to master it is to practice with it. Last week we did about 10 or 15 verbs, practicing one after another after another. Okay? This is what you have to do. You have to practice with it in order for it to stick in your head. For you to remember each one of these suffixes that are added to the end of the word to indicate who's doing the action. Is it the first person, second person, or third person? Is it a male or a female? Is it an individual, singular, or is it yani, a group of people, plural? In order to know which suffix to add to the base form of the verb, in order for you to memorize that and for it to stick in your head, you have to practice with it. That's basically all you can do. It really entails memorization. Okay, any question about this? This is what we covered last week. And again, the audio is posted there at the website. So, yani, if you want to go back and review it, then yani, please do, by all means. It's very, very important. Okay, today, we're going to go on to the next topic, which is dealing with prepositions. And on page 8 of the notes, at the top of the page it says references from the Noble Quran for jarun wa majrurun. And these two words, yani, are important words for us to remember. Jarun ومجرور. ومجرور. Okay. What do we mean by جار and what do we mean by مجرور? So this is our topic for today. جار and majroor. Okay, this is the question. This is the question. What do we mean by jarun? And what do we mean by majrurun? Anybody can help us. Okay, na'am. What do we mean by jarun, ya Abdul Karim?
Jarun is the word is harfu jar.
Okay, jar means a preposition. Okay, sometimes we say harfu al-jar or harfu jarrin without alif lam. Okay, harf means a particle, and it's not a noun and it's not a verb, it's a particle. Remember we said in the first class that the Arabic language is divided into three parts of speech: fi'l, ism, fi'l, and harf. Ism is a noun, fi'l is a verb, and harf is a particle. That's what this is. This is a harf, a particle. Okay, it's not a conjunction like wow or fa, but it is a preposition. And there are a number of prepositions in Arabic language, which we're going to talk about today a little bit. Some of them we had in Medina Book 1. And those are the ones that we want to emphasize. And the other ones we just want to know that they also exist. Okay, so harf al-jar means a particle that's called the preposition. Okay, so when we say jarun, we're talking about the preposition, and the majroor is a noun. Ism al-majroor. It's a noun that is made, it's placed into the genitive case because of it following the jar. It's following a preposition. The noun following the preposition, we say that it is ismu majroor. A noun that is yani made genitive by the preposition that precedes it. So al-jar and al-majroor means the preposition and the noun that follows it. The object of the preposition. The object of the preposition. And the way that these... Yes, brother.
So the word jar means...
Jar. Pretty much. Yeah. Yani, it's a particle though. So we say it is the particle of, yani, the genitive case.
So the root word itself, jar.
Nah, jarra means like to pull something, literally. But that doesn't really help us here. So we're not worried about the literal meaning of it, but more importantly, we're worrying about, yani, technically, what does it denote? What does it signify? It signifies a preposition. Maybe we don't even know what a preposition is in English. Okay, so we don't even want to, we're not so concerned about that. What is more important, even though, and it's good to know that this is called the preposition, but what's more important is how does it function in Arabic? That's what we really need to know. We must know that. How does it function? Okay, so a preposition in Arabic, it is an amil, an actor that affects something else. What does it affect? It affects a noun that follows it. And it makes that noun, it changes it from being marfu'un in the nominative case with dhamma, it changes it to being majrurun in the genitive case with kasra. That's what happens. Okay? When a noun follows the preposition, we say it is the object of the preposition, it changes from its original state of being marfu'un, nominative case with a dhamma, and its ending vowel changes to a kasra because now it became majroor. How it became majroor? Because of the preposition. The preposition acts upon it, affects it, and changes its case ending from marfu'un with dhamma to majroor with kasra. This is the most important thing that you need to know about the preposition. That the noun that follows it, its object, its case ending is changed from marfu'un, nominative case, to majrurun, genitive case. Its vowel, the basic vowel sign, primary signs of case endings, change from dhamma to kasra. Is that clear? Okay, so when we see a preposition in a sentence, we know that the noun following it is its object. Its vowel, it has to end with a kasra. In general, that's the primary sign of a word that is majroor, is that it takes kasra. There are secondary signs too, but we're not going to talk about those at all. There are secondary signs. But the base sign, yani if a word is marfu and it takes dhamma. If it's majroor, it takes kasra. So it's going to change. That word, nouns in Arabic are originally all marfu'un. They take dhamma. But when you put them in a sentence and something acts upon it, it may change it. From dhamma to kasra, as it is here. Or to fatha, as we'll see in other cases. When it's the object of a verb instead of the object of a preposition. Or for other reasons also. Meaning that, as we said in the second or third session of this course here, we said that nouns have case endings that indicate them being either marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun. Yani nominative, genitive, or accusative. They have case endings, the vowel at the end of the word. We said that in the second session, or third, somewhere in the beginning. Originally, it is always in the nominative case, marfu'un, with dhamma. But certain things may act upon it and change it. So the first thing that we're talking about here that actually changes it is the preposition. Preposition changes it from being marfu'un with dhamma to being majrur with kasra. Preposition does that. And that really is the core, yani, of this particular subject. Yani, knowing how the preposition function. What does it do? How does it function? What is its job? How does it affect the noun that comes after it? Okay? The preposition is called jar, and the word that comes after it is in the case that's majrur, so it's called ismu al-majrur, ism majrur, a noun that is in the majrur or genitive case. What we have here is a list of some prepositions in this sheet on page 8. But before we look at that list of prepositions, and before we look at the examples that they have given for some of those prepositions, and they didn't give examples for all of them, I don't know why, but we'll look for some examples for each of them. But before we do that, we want to know a little bit more about prepositions, okay? This is what is essential to know what I have mentioned already. How does it work? How does the preposition work? Prepositions are not nouns. Prepositions are not verbs. All right? Prepositions are particles. They're usually one or two, maybe even three letters. Okay? And we've seen prepositions before. In the beginning of book one, in lesson number 4, we saw fi, and we saw min, ila, and ala. That's what we saw in lesson 4. Alright? Those are probably the most common prepositions in the Arabic language. If you open the Quran, you're going to see fi and min all over the place. You're going to see these prepositions again and again and again, almost in every sentence. You're going to see these prepositions. It is said that there are 14 prepositions in the Arabic language. 7 of them are like these that we had in lesson 4. Meaning, they can be attached to a noun that follows them, as well as a pronoun. As well as a pronoun. In other words, you can say he went to the house. Dhahaba ila al-bayt. Here it's connected to a noun that follows it, right? But they can also be connected to pronouns. Like you say, assalamu alaykum. Alaykum is a preposition. Ala and a pronoun kum. It's ala and kum. Okay? So these prepositions that we had in lesson 4, they can be connected either to a clear noun or even to a pronoun. There are other prepositions that can only be connected to clear nouns, not to pronouns. That's a different group of prepositions. Okay? So we want to know that there are two groups of prepositions. Some of them, like we had in the beginning, they can be attached to or connected to or related to nouns, clear nouns, as well as pronouns. What is a pronoun? Pronoun is a word that takes the place of a noun. And you talk about the teacher, or the imam, or Ahmed, or Muhammad, and then you say he. He is a pronoun, taking the place of Muhammad, or the imam, or the teacher. Okay? Or she. Yani Aisha, Zainab, Khadija. She came home early from school. She. That's a pronoun. So these kind of prepositions that we had in the beginning, they can be used with a clear noun, like Muhammad or the teacher, or the school, or they can be used with a pronoun, like he or she or we or they or us. They can be used with pronouns as well as clear nouns. The other kind of prepositions, they can only be connected to clear nouns, not to pronouns. Okay? So that's the first thing we want to mention. And then we could take a list of those pronouns, like the ones we had and the other ones that are with them that can be used both with clear nouns and pronouns. And then we can also take a list of the other ones that can only be used with pronouns, just for our knowledge. It's not necessary for you to know that right now, but just for our knowledge. We're going to say that the pronouns, the prepositions can be divided into two groups. One that can be used with clear nouns and pronouns, and the second group can only be used with clear nouns. Is that clear?
No.
That's the distinction, that one group can be used with clear nouns and pronouns. The other group can only be used with clear nouns. That's the difference between them. That's it. There's no other difference between them other than that. Yani, they act the same way. Meaning, yani, the word that follows them, if it's a clear noun, we're going to say it's majrur. If it's a pronoun, all pronouns are mabniyun. So we don't say that it's majrur, but we say that it is mabniyun in the place where it should be majrur. Fi mahalli jar. But the preposition, whether it is from the first group or the second group, it acts the same way. It makes the clear noun after it majroor. If it's a pronoun, then it makes it yani in the place where it should be majroor, because pronouns are yani, they don't change cases, they remain the same, they are mabniyun. No, I'm saying that no. Some prepositions, they are one letter, like B, huh? Or like Li that we had in book one, huh? One letter. Some they may have two letters, like Min, huh? Or like Fi, huh? Some may have three letters, like Ila. Hamza, Lam, Alif, Maksura. Ala, Ain, Lam, Alif, Maksura. But they are not four words. That's why they're called particles. They might be one letter, they might be two letters, maybe even three. But they are, yani, particles, not four words, alright? In both of these groups, you may have either type, it doesn't matter. But the difference between the groups is only that the first group can be used with clear nouns and pronouns. The second group can only be used with clear nouns. Okay. Alright, so let's look a little bit at these two groups, okay? The first group that can be used with clear nouns and pronouns includes yani the words that we had previously, like, maybe we should write them here. Yani, the first group, we have in the first group, what did we have in lesson 4? Fi? And what else? Huh? Min? And? Ala? And Ila? And Ila. Those are four, right? Okay, so in addition to them, we also have that we had in lesson 1, we had Li and B. And an, like an Abi Hurairata radiallahu anhu, right? Okay, so this is 1, 2, 3, 4 that we had in lesson 4, and 5, 6, 7. That's from the first group. These are the ones that can be used with clear nouns, and they can also be used with pronouns. Any clear nouns? And they can also be used with pronouns. Okay, as far as the second group, in the second group we have yani some common prepositions that are well known to us. You have the letter kaf. Yani the letter kaf in the alphabet. Kaf, right? And we have the letter waw. And we have the letter ta. Alright, so just like we had some letters up here, one letter prepositions like li and b, we also have here kaf, waw, and ta. Those are prepositions. Like you say, wallahi, ma ra'aytuhu. Wallahi, this waw here, that's a preposition. That's why the lafz al-jalal Allah takes kasra, wallahi, because waw is a preposition. Alright? Huh? Tallahi. Billahi. Right? All of these are yani for qasam, for swearing. You say wallahi, you say billahi, you say tallahi. All of those are qasam, yani for swearing. Okay, after that, that's three. Then you also have one that we had, we've seen, hatta. Hatta, which means what? And it's the primary meaning that we use it for in the beginning, and it has other meanings that are very important. Until, meaning until. Hatta. Hatta means until. And those are the ones that we are familiar with. And then there are some others that we want to add to them, but we may not be familiar with them, and probably we won't see them anytime soon. Mudh and Mundhu and Rubba. Rubba. Alright, again, what is important to us here are the prepositions that we are familiar with. These prepositions that we had in lesson 4, fi, min, ala, and ila, and li, and bi, and an, okay, these are prepositions that can be used with clear nouns and pronouns. And then there are other prepositions that can only be used with clear nouns, like ka, wa, ta, yani the letter kaf, the letter wow, the letter ta, and then there's hatta, which means until, and there's mudh and mundhu, which means like since. Yani ma ra'aytuhu mundhu usbu', I didn't see him since 1 week. And then there's rubba. And rubba has like a number of different meanings. It even have yani contradictory meanings. Yani, but it's generally used to mean yani taqleel. Yani rarely does such and such and so happen. Yani rarely, you can say, does a lazy student pass. That's rare. It could happen, but it doesn't happen a lot, right?
Like, you can use
cut
also in this
case. Cut?
When you say like rare.
Oh, cut, qaf, del, cut. Yeah, but it's used a little bit differently, but yeah, that's it could have that meaning with the present tense verb. Yeah, with the present tense verb. But that's a little bit ahead of us right now, inshallah. But for now, the main thing, the meaning of these prepositions, mudh and mundhu and rubba, are not important to us. We didn't see them and we're not going to see them anytime soon. But what is important to us are these here. Fi, min, ala, and ila. And li, and bi, and even an, maybe. And then, any kaf, wow, ta, any not so much, but hatta is very important for us for now. Okay? These are 14 prepositions. 14 prepositions. The ones that are important to us are, as I said, the ones that we had in book 1. That is fi, min, ala, and ila, and li, and bi. Those are the ones that are very important to us to really emphasize upon, because that's what we actually covered and that's what we should be reviewing. But just for the sake of information, the prepositions, it is said that there are 14, and some of the scholars divide them into two groups, those which can only be used with clear nouns. That's the second group. Can only be used with clear nouns, and then there are those that can be used with clear nouns and pronouns, and that's the first group, and that's what we started with in lesson number 4. The ones that can be used with clear nouns and pronouns. Now, well, it has different meanings. From amongst his meanings, like you say, ibad anni, get far away from me, to be far away from something. But as we commonly see it, it's used to mean, you can say from or on the authority of. Yani in hadith it's used like that. It doesn't mean yani being distant or far away from something in that usage. Walaikum salam. But in any case, there are different meanings, and right now we're not so concerned about those meanings, but what we're more concerned about right now are the prepositions that we had in book 1, alright, and what their meanings. And other prepositions we'll come to later on, and we'll come to learn them, but for now we just want to know that there are, yani, two different groups of prepositions. They work the same way, they do the same thing basically to the word that follows them, except that some of them can also be used with pronouns and some of them can't. That's it, basically. Alright, any question before we go further? Now. Excuse me? Ma is not a preposition. It's not a preposition. It's a dharf, an adverb. And likewise, inda. And we had those words, but they're not prepositions. So we'll talk about them because they gave us some notes here with those words mixed with the prepositions. So we'll talk about that when we come to it. But for now, I'll just suffice to say that inda and ma are not prepositions. Okay, remember the dharf, the adverb, it works similar to a preposition, meaning the word following it also is majrur with kasra. So that's how sometimes they get confused. Anyway, even if you got mixed up and you didn't know it's a preposition or a dharf, the main thing is the word following it has to take kasra, it's going to be majrur. Alright, but these are prepositions and those are dhuruf, adverbs. Alright. So this is the introduction to yani basic idea about the preposition. And I want to emphasize the point that the most important thing here is to know the meaning of the preposition that we have studied. Know what is the meaning of min, means from. Ila means to. Ala means on or upon. Huh? What's the other one we had? Fi means in, right? To know what's the meaning of the preposition and how it works. That it makes the noun following, the ism, majroor, it makes it take kasra. Makes it, it places it in the genitive case. It changes it from dhamma to kasra. That's it. If you understand that, alhamdulillah, we're good. Okay, that's what we need to know about prepositions at this point. When we look at them a little further on in these notes, when they are connected to pronouns, we'll talk in more detail about the fact that pronouns are mabniyun. They don't change from one case to another. They are mabniyun. Okay, and therefore we say, if it, a pronoun is attached to a preposition, we say that, we don't say it's majroor because of the preposition, but we say that it is in the place where it should be genitive. Fi mahalli jar. Okay, we'll talk about that when we come to the connection between prepositions and pronouns. But for now, yani suffice it to say that a noun, when it follows a preposition, the preposition makes that noun change from dhamma to kasra, from being marfu'un to being majrurun, from the nominative case to the genitive case. And again, I said in the beginning when we studied the case endings of words in the second lesson or so, that these three words, you have to memorize them. Mansubun, majrurun, and marfu'un. Yani, accusative case, genitive case, and nominative case. Accusative case takes fatha, genitive case takes kasra, nominative case takes dhamma. I said, you have to memorize these words. And the week that we had this lesson, I said, please memorize these words. Memorize the word, what it means, and what vowel it takes. Because we're going to be talking about this again and again and again. And as long as we're studying Arabic, we're going to be mentioning the nominative case. We're going to be talking about this. يعني مرفوعٌ and the genitive case مجرورٌ and the accusative case منصوبٌ. We're going to be talking about this. So if you didn't memorize these words yet, you still have a chance. But come back next week memorizing these words. Alright, alhamdulillah. Let's look at the examples they gave us. Unless there's a question. Let's look at the examples that they gave us and then we'll look at other examples that they didn't give us, or some of the words that they didn't give us examples for. And then يعني we'll and see if we can find more examples in the Quran, inshallah. You have a question?
Yes, that A-I-U, how did they come up with that letter?
Yani, which letter the word is going to end with? The A, the I, or the U? Right. Yani, fatha, or kasra, or dhamma?
No, how did they put A, the I,
and
the I,
or the U? Hold on. Let me understand your question. This A is in reference to the word that is mansoob. In the accusative case, that word is going to end with fatha, or A, or in Arabic, fatha. Yani the word that's in the accusative case, the last letter is going to take fatha. A, it's going to take a fatha. Alright?
A means fatha.
Yeah, I should put fatha, right? No problem, inshallah. Let's change this a little bit. Okay, this A, it means fatha. Fatha. This A means that a word that's mansoob, it's going to end with a fatha. And here, this I means kasra. It means that the word that is in the majroor case, genitive case, is going to take kasra. And here, the dhamma, dhamma. It means that the word, whenever a word is marfu'un, the last letter of that word is going to end with the vowel dhamma. It's going to end with dhamma. Alright? So this is very fundamental. There's no escape from it. You have to know when you see this fatha, this dhamma, this kasra. It's telling us that this word, its function in this sentence, requires that it is in the nominative case, or the genitive case, or the accusative case. That vowel is telling us that. It's telling us the case ending of the word because of the function of that word. That's why it is nominative. Because it's the subject of the sentence, or the predicate, or because it's the fa'il, the one doing the action. Or, and it's in the genitive case because what? It's following a preposition. It's following a preposition. And the word following a preposition is required to be in the genitive case. And the sign that it's in the genitive case is that it ends with a kasra. Is it clear?
Why didn't they say P?
Why didn't they say what?
Instead of letter A, why didn't they use P or M or Q? That was my question.
Oh.
Because to match it,
that's what I'm saying.
It's some regulation.
They just used it. The A represents that.
You found Fatha.
Okay, and that's what it is.
Right.
The I represents the Kesra. In English, maybe E. It's sound, E sound. And the U.
Anyway, this is transliteration, right? Transliteration, people can do whatever they want with transliteration. Yeah, and you can transliterate however you want. Yeah, and it's not something agreed upon. It's not something agreed upon that a word that is spelt with qaf, that you're going to write it in English with Q. Some people write a word that's spelt in Arabic with qaf with K. I don't agree with that, but I'm saying they're entitled to do whatever they want to do. Transliteration, right? In, as long as you write it correct in Arabic, we don't care how you write it in English. All right, Naam, you have a question. Yeah, they have different functions, but we haven't taken those. Yeah, we just said tallahi. The brother said tallahi. Yani, it's an oath. It's used for al-qasam. Qasam means you're swearing. You want to swear by Allah, you say, you don't have to say wallahi, you can say tallahi. You can say billahi. So it's a letter, a particle of qasam, of swearing. Wa iyyakum. Tayyib, na'am. The third group of preposition? You said it's used for what? No, the first group is used for clear nouns and pronouns. The second group is only used for clear nouns. Only clear nouns. That's the difference between them. The second group, those in the second group, the kaf, it's not used with clear nouns, with pronouns. Okay, wow is not used with pronouns. Ta is not used with pronouns. You can only use it with a clear noun. Same thing with hatta, mudh, mundhu, and rub. Now, no. No, no, ka is not. No, ka is used to mean like something. Yani tashbih, something that is similar or resembling something else.
Just one other thing.
No.
You mentioned one word.
Yani you can say, for example, هذا المسجد كالمدرستي. Yani this masjid is like a school. Ka means like, similar, resembling. Naam. Mabniyun. Yeah, we'll come to that. I said we're going to talk about that, inshallah. When we come to the place where the prepositions are connected to pronouns, we're going to talk about, yani, pronouns are mabniyun. And that, yani, we don't say that they are majroor or mansoob, but we say that they are mabniyun fi mahalli jar, or fi mahalli raf, or fi mahalli nas. We'll talk about that, inshallah, a little bit further on, as after we pass this. Naam.
Yes, you say this word. Is it
Mundhu, mudh, mudh, and mundhu. These are two words. Not mundhur, mundhu. Mudh, that's one word. And mundhu, that's another word. They have the same meaning. They have the same meaning. Means since. Yeah. Like, I didn't go back to that place since that day. Since. They both have the same meaning. Huh? Aslamtu. He said, Aslamtu mundhu maulidi. Yani, I don't know, we can talk about that, but we don't have time to talk about it today, but you get the point that he makes, right? Yeah, means I did something, or I didn't do something, or I saw something, or I didn't see something since such and such time. And in time. Since 1 week or 1 month or 1 year. Five. Let's look at the examples. On the top of the page 8, page 8. On the top of page 8 it says references from the Noble Quran. Fujarun wa majrurun. References from the Noble Quran. Fujarun wa majrurun. Again we said jar means the harf jar, preposition. And majrurun means the ism majrur, the noun that is in the genitive case because of it being the object of the preposition. So there's a preposition, and then there's a noun that's the object of the preposition. That's what these two words represent. Jar represents the preposition, and majrur represents the noun that follows it, that is the object of the preposition. They said, this is the list they gave us from right to left. Ala, which means on or upon. Min, which means from. Ila, which means to, like going to someplace or to someone. Fi, which means in, yani physically in or figuratively in, yani either way. It doesn't mean you have to be inside of a place, but you could be in someone's company. Yani you're not in a place, but you're in their company. Okay, it can mean either way. An means away from or far from. And it also means about or on the authority of someone. For example, as in the use, as is used in hadith, on the authority of Aisha, for example, an Aishata radiallahu anha. And li means belongs to or it is for. You say hadha li Ahmed. This is for Ahmed. Or this belongs to Ahmed. And b has a lot of meanings. From amongst them is by, at, and in. Say that again. Oh yes, an also came in that expression when you say radiyallahu anha. Naam. An is the preposition and ha is a pronoun. Okay, anha means may Allah be pleased with her. It means yani concerning. About, yani about this thing or this one, or concerning this thing. And it has a broad meaning that, and you will adapt according to its usage in the sentence. Okay? It's not as clear as some of the other prepositions. Rather, it has a lot of broad, yani meanings that are not necessarily related to one another. Okay? So like I said here, they said away from, that's one of the primary meanings. To be away from, to be distanced from, to be far from something or someone. But it also has a lot of other meanings. So the meaning that we are most commonly yani used to is not this meaning. Okay, so we should know that it does have other meanings, right? Yani when you hear the dua radiallahu anhu, then this an is the same preposition here. Anhu. Naam. May Allah be pleased with him. Yani here this is the meaning. Naam. Adam. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah.
This min here.
Min.
Can
you
mean among?
Huh?
Among?
I'm here, what you say?
Among.
Among?
Yeah.
Among. In what sense? Okay, let's look at the examples as we come to them, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at the examples as we come to them. I mean, of course, listen. These prepositions, each one of them has more than one meaning. Some of the meanings are more common than others. Okay? But they do have many meanings. Some of them have a lot of meanings. Not even 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 10 or 15 different meanings. So, yani, these meanings you will come to, as you begin to read more in Arabic, you'll see them used different ways and you'll come to learn their meanings. But for now, we're going to try to stick with the primary meanings that they have given us, except, yani, if there's a need, we'll look and see what other meaning can it have according to the context that it's used in. Alright? So these are some of the prepositions listed here that they have chosen, yani, that most of them we covered in Medina Book 1. Okay? And especially in lesson number 4, those prepositions given there are the most common prepositions, and they will be extremely useful to you if you understand them and how they function. Okay, let's look at the examples they gave us, and then let's look for other examples, inshallah, in whatever time remains. Okay, the first example they gave us is from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 8th Ayat, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And there are people from men, it should be, who say, we believe in Allah and in the last day. Something like this, okay? What we are concerned about here is the preposition. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And there are people from men. The literal meaning, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And from amongst the people. Yani, and there are some people from مِنَ النَّاسِ. From amongst people, from amongst human beings. مَنْ يَقُولُ. Those who say, آمَنَّا. We believe. بِاللَّهِ. In Allah. وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And in the last day. So, here we have the use of preposition in 3 places. Highlighted, right? مِنَ النَّاسِ. And billahi and bil yawmil akhiri. And we have min and we have bi. You see them? Everybody see all of them? Okay, the first one, wa min an nasi. Notice that the word nas, its vowel ending is what? Kasra. That indicates that it's what case ending? Majroor, genitive. Why is it majroor? Because it is following the preposition min. Min makes it change to being majroor with kasra. That's why it has to be kasra. And if somebody was reciting Quran and they said wa min an nasi, or they said wa min an nasa may yaqulu, you can stop them. Even if you didn't memorize the Quran, if you know Arabic, you can stop them and say no, wa min an nasi. You can tell them they're wrong, because you know it can't be wa min an nasa. That's not possible in Arabic language. Wa min an nasa, wa min an nasi. All right. Second one, may yakulu amanna billahi, billahi. Okay, here we have the preposition be, and we have lafz al-jalala, the expression that's used to refer to the Allah the Majestic, following it, and therefore it ends with kasra, billahi. Why? Because of the preposition be. And here the meaning of billahi means, yani, they say we believe in Allah. They say we believe in Allah. And they believe in Allah. Naam. Wa bil-yawmi. And again we have the preposition ba followed by the word al-yawm. So ba is the jar preposition, and al-yawmi is the majroor, ism majroor, that became genitive because of the preposition be. Is it clear? This is the first example. So now, when you're reading Quran, right, and you should be reading, and we should be reading the Quran every day, right? When we're reading Quran, let's pay a little more attention. Right now, sir? We have to pay attention when we're reading Quran. That what we are reading, that we are actually recognizing things that we know in Arabic, so that we're actually understanding the Quran more than just looking at the translation. We're actually understanding on our own that something is happening here that I know and that I can recognize in Arabic. This is very simple. These prepositions come again and again and again. Every time you see one, say, well, I know that, and I know this word has to come after it with a kasra. And because kasra is the primary sign or indication that a word is majroor. And again, as we advance further, we find out that they are secondary signs. Yani, for dual words, plural words, feminine sound plurals, masculine sound plurals, words that are mamnu min as-sarf. We know that there's different categories of words that might have different signs that indicate they're being majrur, mansub, or marfoon. But for now, these are the primary signs. And this is what mostly we're going to see. Alright, now. Okay. Does anybody know how to change the time on these clocks?
No.
Nobody?
I don't know. One button.
Okay. I'm not going to mess with it. Who knows? Yeah, but every time I look at that clock, it's confusing me. Every time I look at it, I keep saying, what time is it? What is going on here? And then I say, okay. You know, as you get older, you're not as sharp anymore, right? You can. Okay, no problem. It's all right. All right. Anyway, let's move. You said that wow is used here in a different context. Which wow are you talking about? Yeah, okay. Don't worry about it. That's not what's intended here. What's intended is what's highlighted. The wow that came before, yani after billahi wa bil yawm al akhir, that wow is not, it's not a preposition. Like the wow that's used for swearing, wallahi. That's a different wow. There's lots of, you know, words in Arabic that have different usages. Okay, the second example is from the 17th surah, first ayat. من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Huh? Meaning, from the inviolable house of worship at Mecca to the far distant place of worship at Jerusalem. Yani, this is talking about what? What is the context of this ayat? Anybody know? Yani, the Prophet made the night journey من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد Aqsa, yani from the sacred masjid in Mecca to the masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. Okay, here what is important in this ayat is what? That we want to look at in terms of prepositions. The first example for min in this ayat is in the beginning of the quotation here. Min al-masjidi, from the masjid al-haram, yani the sacred masjid, or as they placed it here, inviolable house of worship, yani from the sacred masjid in Mecca, ila, that's the second example, al-masjidi al-aqsa, the furthest masjid, yani the masjid, distant place in Jerusalem. Okay, two prepositions, min and ila, and each of them is followed by a noun that is majrur because of the preposition. So you say min al-masjidi, and you say ila al-masjidi. Both of them are affecting the word masjid in the same way. Both of them are prepositions. So both of them affect the word that follows them, meaning by changing it from being marfu into majrur, and the sign that is majrur is kasra. Any question about this? And the preposition makes the word following it majrur. It makes it be in the genitive case, indicated by the last vowel, which is kasra. The primary sign that a word is genitive or majrur is that it takes kasra, the last letter. Okay, next example. Third example, from 24th surah, 58th ayat, min qabli salati al-fajri, min qabl salat al-fajri. Here, before the prayer of daybreak, min is a preposition, and qabli is a dharf, means from before. Qabl means before. Ba'd means after. Min qabli means from before Salat al-Fajri. Yani from the time which is before Salat al-Fajr. Before the time of the Fajr dawn prayer. Huh? Min qabli. And then we see after that, Salati is also taking kasra. If anybody knows, why is Salati taking kasra here? Min qabli salati. Because of qabli. Why because of qabli? What does qabli do? What is qabli? It's a what?
It's a
dharf. It's a dharf. It's an adverb. Yani which indicates place or time. Yani before or after. Here means before. Qabl means before. Ba'd means after. So from before the salat of Fajr. And fajr is also taking kasra. Why is fajr taking kasra here? Huh? No? Huh? Mudafun ilayhi. Salat al fajr, the prayer of fajr. Mudaf, mudafun ilayhi, right? Mustafa. Wake up. You gotta get him geared up first, right? Okay, no problem. Look, the point here is, yes, Sharif.
Is this grabbing the time of Salat?
It's talking about something that is from before the time of the dawn prayer. Mm-hmm. From before the time of the dawn prayer. What's before the time of the dawn prayer? Yani, person is eating from before the time of the dawn prayer, right? So we're talking about that time before, because once the time of the dawn prayer comes in, that's the end of it, right? So we're saying before that time, then it's permissible, right? Here, the point I want to make here though, in terms of our lesson, is the preposition min is followed by the word qabl, and qabl takes kasra because of the preposition. As far as the other words that take kasra, they are also majrur, because that kasra tells you that those words that have kasra are majrur. But those words are majrur for other reasons, not because of preposition, for other reasons. Okay? The other reasons are not so important at this stage, but whoever knows them, because maybe you studied ahead of that, then alhamdulillah, that's good. Okay? So that proves to us that words can be majrur for more than one reason, not only prepositions. Could be because it's the adverb before it. It could be because it's in a connection, a construct phrase, al-idafa, that we studied in book one. So we should actually know about this. Okay, next example. 24th surah, same ayah 58. Yani, وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاةَ الْعِشَىٰ وَمِن بَعْدِ صَلَاةَ الْعِشَىٰ Yani, and after the prayer of nightfall. Again, the point here is that the preposition min, the word that's following it, is the object of the preposition. We say it's in the genitive case. In Arabic, it's called what? Majroor. And the sign that it's majroor is that it takes which vowel ending? Kasra. Min ba'di. And the same thing as in the previous example, salati is, it's after a dharf. So it is, yani the word after a dharf, we say it's mudafun ilayhi. Majroor, the dharf, the word following the dharf is mudafun ilayhi. And then al-isha also is taking kasra because it is an idafa to salat. The next example, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth example, Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 10th ayah, fi qulubihim maradun. In their hearts is a disease, a sickness. Fi qulubihim maradun. So what is the meaning here? Yani, in their hearts there is a sickness. Some people, Allah is describing them, saying that in their hearts there is a sickness, a disease. The important thing is here, what fi is a preposition. The word following it is governed by the preposition, making it majroor. I just want to write this word on the board. Qulubihim. Okay, 2 points about this word here, qulubihim. Fi, the preposition here, makes the noun following it majrur. The noun that's following fi is qulub. It's qulub. That's why qulub has kasra here. Ba is the last letter of the word qulub. It takes kasra. As far as this word, this is a suffix that's added to qulub. It's a pronoun, a connected or attached pronoun. Originally, this pronoun is the pronoun hum, the third person, masculine plural, hum, mean they. But because the word hum, as well as the word who, the pronoun who, and the dual pronoun huma, whenever they are preceded by a kasra, or a word that ends with ya with sukun, who becomes he. And hum becomes him, and huma becomes hima. Okay, this is specifically for this third person, yani pronoun who or whom. Here it becomes kasra instead of hum, it becomes him because it's preceded in this case by kasra, or when it's preceded by ya with sukun. And it just the pronunciation changes. The meaning doesn't change at all. The I'rab grammatical function doesn't change. It's just the way they pronounce it, because they don't like to pronounce hum after he, after kasra. So they say kulubihim. That's easier than saying kulubihum. They don't like kulubihum, or like this. And that's why we say ala plus hu becomes alayhi, because of the ya with sukoon. Alayhi. That means ala hu, yani upon him. Yani you say the Prophet alayhi as-salam. Alayhi is originally ala hu. Ala hu. Tayyib. Next example. Next example. Second surah, 17th ayat. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ and leaves them in utter darkness. He leaves them in utter darkness. Okay, the word here, the preposition fi followed by ظُلُمَات, and ظُلُمَات is taking kasra. Rather, it's taking two kasras. Why is it taking two kasras instead of one? Huh?
Original state.
Okay, that's one answer. Okay, I will accept that. Any other reason? Remember, nouns in Arabic, they must take tanween or alif lam, one or the other, right? Unless they are mamnoom and asarf. Yani they have to take alif lam or tanween. Nouns in Arabic, if it doesn't have alif lam, it has to take tanween. If it doesn't have tanween, then it has to take alif lam. Okay, we said that in the beginning lessons, in the beginning of this review, we said that nouns are either definite or indefinite. They take alif lam or tanween. And there are some exceptions, special cases, certain kinds of words. But normal nouns in Arabic, they take alif lam or tanween. Here, this word doesn't have alif lam, so it has tanween. And this is the way nouns are in Arabic. They take tanween, unless they have alif lam. Alif lam requires to remove the tanween. But the important thing here is what? Is not that it has a single kasra or double kasra. What's important here is that it has kasra. That's what's important. Yani the case ending is by the vowel. Not doesn't matter if the vowel is a single kasra or double kasra, or single dhamma or double dhamma. As long as it's dhamma, we say it's nominative, marfu'un. As long as it's yani single kasra or double kasra, it doesn't matter. We say it's majrurun. Okay, in this case, it has double kasra because it doesn't have alif lam. Fi ظُلُمَاتٍ. Next example. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th. Seventh example. This is from second surah also. Same ayat. Same surah. Second surah, 27th ayat. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And spread. Yani they, plural, they are spreading corruption in the earth. They are spreading corruption in the earth. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Okay? Fi is the preposition, and al-ard is the object of the preposition. The object of the preposition is always in the genitive case. The sign that is genitive is what vowel? Kasra. Eighth example, second surah, 256 ayat. La ikraha fid dini. La ikraha fid dini. There shall be no coercion in matters of faith. Yani there's no coercion, no compulsion. No one is forced fid deen, in the matters of deen. Meaning, yani this is not a good translation of this ayah. But in any case, it is what it is, right? What we're concerned about here is the preposition. Yani there are things in the deen that people are compelled to do, right? Nobody is compelled to enter into Islam. But once you enter Islam, you're compelled to pray. You're compelled to fast. You're compelled to do things that Allah has made obligatory upon you. Otherwise, if you're in a Muslim state, the ruler can have you punished with whatever Allah has prescribed in the law. And if that doesn't happen, for sure you will answer to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. You must do what Allah has made obligatory upon you. But entering Islam is by choice. You can refuse, not you, I mean a person, they can refuse and go to hell forever. Or if they had any sense, then they would enter Islam and have a chance for the Jannah, even if they get some punishment for their shortcomings and wrongdoing. Ninth example, la ikraha fid deen. Yani, or this is the eighth example. Fi is the preposition. Ad-dini is the object of the preposition. It's majrur. It takes kasra. The next example, second surah, 284th ayat. Lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi. Unto Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. What's the words here? In the heavens and in the earth. And also, they have the word belongs highlighted, right? Because in the beginning of the ayat, or the beginning of this quotation, it says, Lillahi. So in this word, Lillahi, we have what? We have a preposition, Li, right? And we have the word Allah. The love of the Jalala, Allah. And whenever a word that yani begins like this with hamzatul wasl in the beginning of it, specifically words that have alif lam in the beginning, whenever they precede it by this particular preposition li, then the alif of the hamzatul wasl is omitted, and that word is connected directly to the word without that alif and that lam that is preceding the beginning of the word. Okay, so in other words, what we have lillahi is literally li Allah. For Allah, it belongs to Allah. Ma, whatever, fis samawati is in the heavens, wa ma fil ardi, and whatever is in the earth. Alright, so the words that we're looking here, in terms of prepositions, we're looking at three. We're looking at li, in the beginning, right, first word, lillahi. That's the preposition. So we see the word ending with kasra. Ma, fi is a preposition, as samawati, ending with kasra, wa ma fi. Preposition again repeated, al ardi ending with kasra. Any question? Next example. Third surah, 6th ayat. Huwa alladhi yusawwirukum fil arham. He is who shapes you in the wombs. Okay, let's leave that. Huwa alladhi, he is the one who. He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhi, relative pronoun, the one who yusawwirukum. Who shapes or forms you, yusawwirukum, plural, fi al-arhami, in the wombs. Huh? Fi is the preposition, al-arham is the object of the preposition, following any preposition, whether it's fi, or ila, or min, or ala, whatever it may be, it's always going to end with kasra to indicate that it is majrur, or genitive case. Next example, same surah, third surah, 46 ayat. وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ. And he will speak unto men in his cradle, or in the cradle. Literally, in the cradle, right? وَيُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ. Yani, fi is the preposition, al-mahdi, the cradle, is the object of the preposition, and the object of the preposition is always in the genitive case. In Arabic we call it what? Majroor. And the sign that it's majroor is always what vowel? Kasra. Next example, third surah, 85th ayat. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And in the life to come, he shall be from among the lost. Wahuwa, and he, fil akhirah, in the next life, will be what? Min al-khasirin. Okay, we have two prepositions here. Fi, wahuwa fi al-akhirati. We see that, the word following fi, al-akhirati is taking kasra. Min al-khasirin, he will be from among the khasirin, the losers, those who have lost. All good. Min al-khasirin. He will be from, yani from among the losers. Next to the last example, 5th surah, 41st ayat. Lahum fi dunya khizyun. Walahum fil akhirati azabun azimun. Yani, lahum, there's a preposition here. Fi dunya, another preposition, khizyun. Walahum, again a preposition. Fil akhirati, another preposition. Adabun azim. There shall be, to them belongs ignominy in this world, and to them belongs awesome suffering in the life to come. I want to come back to this one. Let's go to the last example. Yani, 5th surah, 54th ayat. Who strive hard in God's cause, yani, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُجَاهِدُونَ, they are striving, يعني making jihad, فِي سَبِيلِ, يعني فِي is the preposition, سَبِيل means the way on the cause, in the path, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, يعني in the path of Allah, in the way of Allah, in the cause of Allah. They are striving in the cause of Allah. Okay, let's go back. يعني فِي is the preposition, سَبِيلِ is the object of the preposition, it's مَجْرُور, the sign that it's مَجْرُور is كَسْرَة. Let's go back to the next to the last example, and we're going to end with this. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. يعني لَهُمْ, we're going to look at that separately. فِي الدُّنْيَا is clear, but it needs some explanation. وَلَهُمْ again, and then فِي الْآخِرَةِ is easy. يعني فِي is the preposition, الْآخِرَةِ is the object of the preposition. It takes كَسْرَة. Now let's look at يعني the other points in the beginning of this quotation. لَهُمْ, where's the preposition here? La. The la is originally what? Li. But when it's connected to most of the pronouns, instead of saying lika, you say laka. Instead of saying li hum, you say lahum. So you say lahum, laha, laka, lana. That la here with fatta is originally kasra. It's the preposition li. Means here lahum, for them. And this will be for them. The second preposition, fi ad-dunya. Fi ad-dunya. Fi is the preposition. Dunya is the object of the preposition. And dunya is majroor. But the sign that it's majroor, we don't see any kasra. Okay, that's because this word is from those words. Anybody know what kind of word this is? Yes? Diptot. Huh? Diptot. Is it mamnu' min al-sarf? Dunya. La, dunya is a word that ends with alif. Words that end with alif maksura, like yani dunya, like Musa, Isa. These words are not mamnu' min al-sarf. But rather the sign of the i'rab is not seen. Yani you say that fi dunya, yani dunya is the object of the preposition, it's majroor. But the sign of it being majroor is kasra muqaddara. Yani it's the kasra that you don't see, but you understand it. Okay, it's not mamnu' min al-sarf. No. These words that end with alif maksura, alif mamduda, you don't see the sign that they are majroor or mansoob, but they are majroor and they are mansoob. They're not mamnu' min al-sarf. That's different. Yani mamnu' min al-sarf, yani means that it can only take yani fatha or dhamma. It doesn't take kasra. This word dunya, it doesn't take fatha, kasra or dhamma. It remains dunya all the time. That's not mamnu' min al-sarf. Words that are mamnu' min al-sarf, remember, they take dhamma when they are marfu'un, and they take fatha when they are mansoob. Yani mamnu' min al-sarf words, when they are majroor, they don't take kasra. That's all. But these words here, they don't change at all. It's not mabniun either. No, it's not mabniun. Anyway, we don't want to get stuck here because we're out of time right now. That's why I saved it for last so we could try to finish it. But in any case, this word dunya, it is majroor. But the sign that it's majroor, we don't see because of its ending with alif. Words that end with alif maksura or alif mamduda. In this case, we don't see their sign changing. And then we have lahum again, like we had already. We said that this lahum is originally li, yani the preposition li and hum. Any question? Yani about yani these notes. Any question about these notes that we covered today, the examples? Or even most importantly, the preposition. Any question about the preposition? Yani what is the preposition? How does it work? What does it do? What is its work? How does it operate? Now, fadl akhi. Fadl. Any question about that? Okay, what I'm going to say here. Yani, okay, you have a question about this?
One of the words.
What word? Zulumat. Zulumat? Yeah, it's a plural, dhulumat, yani. Now, means, yani, darknesses, not just one darkness, but darkness upon darkness upon darkness. They will be in multiple layers of darkness. Okay, these prepositions, we're going to come back to them. We're not finished with prepositions, but this is the end of what they had in this page. And the next lesson, we're going to talk about pronouns, and then we're going to talk about pronouns and prepositions together. So the next lesson and the following lesson, inshallah, we'll come back to the prepositions again. But we're going to look at pronouns, and then we're going to look at pronouns and prepositions together, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Tayyib, bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wala wa ba'd. The few minutes that's remaining, inshallah, we just want to try to complete a few minutes that we have left before 2 o'clock. This is our 7th session for Basic Arabic Grammar Review. And the second part, just a few minutes. Yani, we mentioned some prepositions here from page 8 of the notes. There were a couple of prepositions that they mentioned. That is ala and an, that they didn't give any examples for. So I just want to, yani, call to your attention a couple of places. In Suratul, oh, I'm sorry, sisters, huh? MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. No. In Suratul Fajr, the 89th surah of the Quran and 18th ayat, and you could just make a note of it. If you don't have a mushaf with you at the moment, you can just make a note that there's an example here, which they didn't give any examples for the preposition ala, so we're going to take this example as just an example to add to the list that they have given us. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in 18th ayat, وَلَا تَحَادُونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. Yani, this is in reference what? Descriptions of the people. Naam? Yani, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about some people who, about feeding the poor. Yani, that they didn't, وَلَا تَحَادُونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. They didn't encourage the feeding of the poor people. Yani, the preposition ala here came in this ayah, wala tahaduna ala ta'ami al-miskeen. Naam, feeding, giving food to the poor. And also in 100th surah of the Quran, that's Surah Al-Fajr, 89. Yeah, and also in the 100th surah of the Quran, 7th ayat, that's Surah Al-Adiyat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ, I'm sorry, the following ayat, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And the meaning here is that what? That this human being is ungrateful to his Rabb, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, and he is a witness, a shaheed upon that. He is a witness upon that, a witness to that of him, of his ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his actions. Actions. The actions of the human being is a witness against itself. That he's ungrateful. No, that's not li. That's la ta'keed. That's for emphasis. And that is and that's detailed. We don't want to talk about that now. Wa innahu is for emphasis, right? Inna, and then yani, whenever you have this la, this lam here that's used for emphasis in the beginning of a sentence, if inna is used, then it has to move to the khabar and it changes its position, but the meaning is for emphasis. La shaheed is definitely a witness of this. Now it's Surah 100, Ayah 7. Jazakallah khair.
Another one, Surah Fajr, and Surah.
Yeah, we said 89, 18. Okay, and just one more reference. I just want to give you 102nd Surah. What is the 102nd Surah?
Kawthar.
102nd Surah, 8th Ayat. Eighth. I'm sorry. Kautha. Let's see. This is Takathur. Takathur. Naam. 102nd Surah. Takathur. 8th Ayat. Where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "Thumma latus'alunna yawma idhin an an-na'im." An an-na'im. Yani here, the meaning of this ayat is what? Thumma latus'alunna. You would definitely be questioned. You will be asked. Yawma idhin, on that day. And about, concerning, and na'im. Yani the blessings, the bounties, the favors of Allah. On that day you would definitely be questioned. Yani whatever we are enjoying in this world, of bounties and favors and blessings, of whatever type, on Yawma Qiyamah, we will be asked about it. Asked what? We will be asked about our obligation of showing gratitude for it. يعني وجوب الشكر. يعني every bounty of Allah requires any obligatory. It is obligatory upon us to show gratitude for it. We will be questioned. Did we show gratitude for it? And whatever it is, if it was just a cold glass of water on a hot day. Huh? Yani thanking Allah by words is good. That's legislated, right? But it's more than that. Actually, the gratitude that's expressed on the tongue has to first be rooted in the heart. Yeah, in other words, naam, it has to be, it's rooted in the heart, it's expressed on the tongue, but the manifestation of it, the real manifestation of it, is obedience to Allah. And the person who's grateful to Allah, if they in their heart they have gratitude, not only they say it on the tongue, but the full manifestation of it is their obedience to Allah. If a person is obedient to Allah, that means he's grateful. If a person is disobedient to Allah, that means he's ungrateful. And don't you tell your children, all I have done for you, and this is how you treat me? This is how you obey me? You disobey me of all I have done for you? So, what about Allah? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلَ الْعَالَى. And there's no example like this for Allah, but this to make us understand. If a human being expects some obedience as a sign of gratitude from somebody that they have yani favored, then what about yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right of obedience from His servants for all that He has given us. Anyway, this is just a couple of examples. Maybe I think I may have written one more example, but anyway, like time is gone. So yani, what I would suggest though is that yani, that you try to start looking and identifying, at least mentally in your mind, as you're reading the Quran yani, or whatever you might be reading of Arabic, looking for the prepositions and noting yani the words that follow them, how they end. Sometimes you're going to find it might not end with kasra, like we saw today with dunya, and there's a reason for that. Or it could be, like the brother mentioned, a word that is mamnu min as-sarf. It doesn't take kasra when it's majrur. It takes fatha. And there are other types of words. Sound, you know, masculine sound plurals, feminine sound plurals. Different words that they have secondary indications. Or other yani manifestations of the case ending. But the general primary sign that a word is majrur in the genitive case is that it ends with kasra. So in any case, just start trying to identify those things as you're reading whatever surahs that you know from the Quran. Try to go with the surahs you know first, so that those surahs that you normally recite, and especially in your prayers, that you're more conscious of the meaning of what you're reciting in Arabic, so that you're more conscious of their meanings, inshallah. Next week we're going to go to the next page, yani, which is dealing with pronouns. So please, look at the lesson before you come to class, look at the pronouns, see what they are, the ones you know, the ones you don't know. And if you have any questions, inshallah, in the beginning of the class we'll take questions. And I'm going to stop here, but I'm going to take your question, inshallah. I'm going to stop here just so that people who have to go can go. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.